welcome to another episode of Fan Experience TV, episode 98. Two more episodes till our 100th episode in a couple of weeks. We will be live and in person at a sports bar over here on Long Island, New York, in Patchwork, Louis Bar and Grill, and we're going to be sharing more details. But we got two more episodes, or should I say, two more birdies.
Yeah,
that still have to fly. And Mr. Eli Manning gave us a nice little Eli Manning moment last night during what was not the best game of the week, to say the least. But we had some very interesting games over this past weekend. Also, some very interesting stuff going on in the MLB, which Rick is drawn to right now. I could see that because his Yankees are making a push to make it to the playoffs as a wild card. So for those of you joining us for the first time, my name is Mike Kados, and I am your host. And alongside me is my Yankee fan co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, I guess kick it off with your Yankee
right now. Breaking news. I mean, I'm just watching Aaron Judge just hit the bomb to right center. Next at bat, Stanton, you know, grounds out, doesn't run down to the bag. Looks like he hurt something. I don't know. He walked off the field right there. That's not good. But yeah, man, you know, I guess we'll start with talking about the Yankees. Our gritty, gutty Yankees at a performance for the ages this weekend in Fenway Park. The Yankees sweep their arch rivals, the Boston Red Sox. And, you know, it was the way it was done. Gerrit Cole obviously set the tone, went out there, pitched well. But then Saturday night, down 2-1. And with the bases loaded, Giancarlo Stanton comes up and hits a shot. Mike, the thing is still going. Like, this ball is still traveling. It passed Lansdowne Street. I think it passed the airport. It might be halfway across the country right now. I mean, it was just an incredible monster shot. And then Sunday again, he does it again where he hits another bomb when the Yankees needed it after, like, the miscue of plays on the field, you know, with Gallo dropping a pop-up and LeMahieu dropping a pop-up and Yankees getting away with a strikeout a strikeout that fell off a transfer with Aaron Judge. So it was a confluence of things that led to the Yankees getting a sweep and now in a position, two games up on the Red Sox, in a position to pretty much control their own destiny. I think they have six games left. If they can find a way to just take, you know, I think it's four out of the next six, the Yankees are going to be in good shape and then they're going to be hosting. Oh, you're back. They're going to be hosting, man. Either they're going to be hosting a playoff game or Stanton, not good there. As his back foot slipped, looks like it wasn't serious. That's okay. So, you know, look, the Yankees are making a run, six games left. It's going to be exciting this last week of baseball. So we'll wait and see. But they're in a good place right now, and I think they're coming together, and things are coming together at the right time for the Yankees. But talking about this weekend, NFL, once again, the king. I mean, with some of the games and the performances, let's quickly get at the locals out of the way. Look,
Giants. That's not going to take too long.
That's not going to take too long. The Giants are a bad football team. They've been bad for a while. They should have won that game Saturday. They didn't. The owner got booed. I mean, it was just a comp. I mean, the Falcons come in. You're figuring the Giants should win that game. You know, Daniel Jones just comes off of playing probably his best game of his career. And, you know, it just looks bad out there. Jason Garrett's getting killed. Looks awful. And they lose on a field goal at the last minute there. Mm-hmm. And look, the Giants, you got to figure it out. I mean, Joe Judge has been here now. It's a year and a half. People are getting on top, you know, are getting on him. So they got to figure it out. As far as the Jets go, I've been saying this for now, what is this, Tuesday? I've been saying this since Sunday afternoon after that game was over. Look, Zach Wilson's – I love Zach Wilson. I think he's going to be a stud. I really do. He's played three games. Everybody needs to calm down. All these guys is watching on YouTube is Let's Talk Jets Radio and all these guys and everybody like losing it over Zach Wilson. Like, the kid's played three games. Let's all relax. He's got another 14 more to go. His last game is going to be until January 7th. He's got a while. Yes, the Jet offense is pathetic and lethargic. Yes, the defense is playing better. But you got to give it time. The one thing the Jets need to do is get Denzel Mims on the field. I mean, I don't know if you saw some of the highlights on TikTok or even like Instagram or whatever. Three receivers running
their
the same.
Highlights?
Three receivers running the same route. I mean, come on. Guys dropping balls. I mean, Zach's had the most drops in the league. you know, guys not catching the ball. I mean, get Mims in there. Put Corey Davis on the outside. A guy you gave, I don't know, what was it, $72 million, can't catch a ball. Get him in there and just, you know, he's going to have to – it's trial by fire. He's going to have to learn. So I'm not worried about the Jet coaching staff. I'm not worried about Zach. It's going to be rough. And I think as Jet fans, they need to expect that. It's going to be rough. But in the end, I think the Jets are going to come out fine towards the end of the year. You know, you're going to see that progression. I think they're going to be fine. So, but I mean, let's talk about – there's one game I wanted to talk to you about, and I don't know if you saw this or not, the Lions and the Ravens, okay? 4th and 19, Lamar makes a pass, unbelievable, gets the first down. Then controversy. The referees –
yeah, but it was the play clock in the stadium versus the TV.
It doesn't matter. They missed it. They missed it, and Lamar leads him down the field, and Justin Tucker, the great Justin Tucker, who's on my fantasy team, by the way, hits 65-yard field goal to win that. Hits the bottom post and bounces in, and it was just an incredible win. I couldn't believe that. Yeah, hit the crossbar, and I just couldn't believe it. I mean, that was Lamar Jackson. Remember, it was even like last year we were talking about how he can't throw. Even a couple of years ago, remember how he first started? He couldn't throw the ball. And now year three, year four, he's evolved, right? And look at him now, man. Him and your boy Herbert over there are becoming legitimate threats in the league. And I just, you know, let's talk about that for a minute.
Well,
back cramps up.
You know, you have, you know, eventful week three. You had a kick six. So it was a field goal taken back, missed field goal taken back 109 yards for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, Jacksonville.
You had the, you know, the 66-yarder history-making field goal by Mr. Justin Tucker.
Yeah.
A couple hours after, you know, they're posting up, Ravens are posting up, you know, warm-up videos of him taking 60-something-yard field goals in practice.
Yeah.
So that was a little creepy, little freaky there. But you had Tom Brady losing.
And you have
the Chiefs in last place in their division,
right?
Courtesy of my boy,
yeah, boy, yeah, played well.
Justin Herbert
made some big throws.
You know,
Mike
Williams were balling out. You know, and getting that game ball. You know, well deserved game ball to Mike Williams and that defense keeping Mahomes down for when it really counted,
right.
You know, three turnovers on their first three drives to start the game. So, obviously, that's big when you're playing the Chiefs in their own home stadium. And the Chiefs came firing back as that high-powered offense does and is capable of doing. But it goes to beg the question, have the Chiefs been figured out a little bit? Because, you know, they looked atrocious in the Super Bowl.
And now they
lost two games. And granted, it's week three. It's 1-2.
That's not overrated. They're not the Steelers.
It's 1-2. It's not. And the Steelers look like hot garbage. but it is a little crazy that, you know, that they are sitting in the cellar of that AFC West division. And we're going to hit on the leaders in that division in just about a minute or so, because one of our next guest is a huge Broncos fan, so we're definitely going to touch on that.
Oh, yeah. Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy checked out.
With Aaron there. But I guess, you know, give us like, you know, 30, 45 seconds of thoughts on Mahomes.
You know what I noticed? It's going back to the Super Bowl. Remember, he had that turf toe. He was hurt. I see Mahomes, and I got to be honest, he just doesn't look like he has that pep in his step, right? Like the old Mahomes would take off for 15 yards, get a first down. Yes, he's staying in the pocket more, kind of sliding out or rolling out, trying to get the ball down the field, going for the big play to Tyreek Hill. But the Patrick Mahomes that was a threat to run, I don't see it there yet, man. And I'm wondering if that toe injury is still bothering him. And you're right, man. The Chiefs as a whole don't look like they scare people anymore. You know, last year, even going into the Super Bowl, they would scare you. They could be down 28 points, and boom, they drop 28 points in a quarter. But they don't scare you anymore. And I think teams are starting to realize that. And their defense, they can't stop the run for anything. Their defense is not what it was when they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, their defense got shellacked. I mean, Mike Williams was open all day.
I mean, Mike Williams was just killing the corners over there. Yeah. I mean, he was open all day. And so, you know, I wonder if they're regressing a little bit. And that division is going to be tough, man. You got the Raiders looking real well. The Broncos are 3-0. and obviously your boy Herbert and the Chargers over there. But I just think that Mahomes isn't Mahomesian anymore. Like that threat of running, just something's missing there in that offense.
I agree. So let's bring on a big fan of the that first place team or tied for first, I guess, led by Teddy Bridgewater, the Denver Broncos. Our next guest, please help us welcome Aaron Eisman back to the show. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, guys, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it. I didn't know you were a Chargers fan, but I am glad to come
they
on.
They are my adopted team.
Okay, Aaron, let's get something. Let's correct something here. This is a guy who wears a Giants jacket. He's a Jets fan, and he has a Herbert jersey. So
no, this is a Tomlinson jersey.
Well, even worse.
He's amazing, LT. So
dude,
I can't disagree.
Powder blue jerseys are one of the best jerseys you could ever own. You need own a powder blue jersey. Come on.
Yeah, they're amazing. I have no love for Philip Rivers, but other than that, I think it's a great franchise.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful stadium. I haven't been yet, but I'm in LA, but I'm planning on going to probably Chargers Broncos. I think it's maybe January is the game.
Yeah, well, talk to us a little bit about your Broncos. Obviously, you didn't have Los Angeles teams, growing up, so you had to, you had to venture elsewhere, and you went the L way. Sorry, pun intended. And talk to us about where you got that, that love for the Broncos, and what really drew you in with that, those Elway years, and how you're feeling right now being in, tied for first with the Vegas Raiders over there in the AFC West.
Yeah. So growing up, didn't have a football team here in LA. Obviously a lot of friends of mine I had cousins who were 49ers fans, I had friends who loved the Raiders, people who liked the Chargers as well in San Diego at the time. But I kind of grew close to the Broncos. I kind of 7-8 years old, hop on the bandwagon a bit for the Broncos that in 97, 98, 99, amazing team. That was where I saw my first football game. I went down to San Diego, my dad and I, we saw Chargers versus Broncos, got to see Elway in person, which was amazing. And kind of fell in love with the team after that. I mean, like the blonde hair, the bootleg quarterback, he's just an amazing arm. It was a great, time to be a Broncos fan, obviously in the late 90s, early 2000s, but yeah, no, grew up to love them. And I actually, you guys were talking about Mahomes. I saw the Mahomes game, Monday Night Football game, 2018, I think it was, where he threw like the sidearm throw. And everyone was like, what the hell is this guy all about? And then everyone went crazy. But I was at that game, I remember. But obviously seeing us now, there's some injuries with Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, which I don't love to.
Yeah.
I really didn't think, obviously I thought we'd have a 3-0 start right now. We're playing, sorry to hear about your Jets.
That's fine. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. I thought that was going to be an easy one for the Broncos. I didn't think 26-0, I didn't see that. Like I thought they would score at least a point or two.
I thought, a field goal, maybe a touchdown, something would happen with a fumble, but nothing was there. Beating teams like the Jags and the Giants, it didn't give you enough confidence until you play this upcoming week against the Ravens. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with them. But yeah, I love Teddy Bridgewater so far. I think he's like one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the NFL right now. He has obviously Cortland Sutton. Hopefully he stays healthy and Patrick and a bunch of other guys that really is helping this team. Melvin Gordon, hopefully he stays healthy as well. But for the most part, it's been exciting to see us, tied up there with the Raiders. And hopefully, I'm hoping it's a 9-win team, that this year there could be maybe more. We'll see. But so far, 3-0 is not a bad start.
No, I mean, it's a great start for sure. And yes, it's been a little bit of a weaker start in opponent wise, but they're doing what they should be doing to those opponents.
Yeah.
And it's not an easy thing to say. Sometimes there are those games that you should just run away with and people just can't. And Steelers being one of them, they should have beat the Raiders and they should have beat the Bengals and they got shellacked this past weekend by the Bengals. So it's like, They're done. Like they're hot garbage. The Broncos are taking advantage of their opportunities.
The Steelers game, and it was. I mean, the Steelers looked really good that first.
Exactly.
Week,
but, why it was like it's crazy. You know, a rope-a-dope. Yeah. Like, you know, how did they knock off the Bills in the way that they did knock off the Bills? Mm-hmm. But goes to show you, any given Sunday. And then the Bills have been unstoppable for the last 2 weeks. I mean, you know, the Washington football team just got shellacked by them, and 35-0 against the Dolphins. You know, I guess real quick, honorable mention, your congratulations to your Dodgers as well.
Thank you.
You have a, you know, favorite team over there in the baseball department over there in LA, and you know, they're a hot team and leading the wild card. Do you think they're gonna take the division?
I don't know. The Giants have been like a thorn in the side.
Unbelievable!
Right now.
Like it's surprise. Like, did you see that?
I mean,
don't think anyone did.
I don't think I saw it because aren't they? They're one of the older teams in all of baseball. They don't have like the, you know, obviously like the Trouts and the big name Mookie Betts of the world. The Dodgers have spent a lot of money on their lineup, but you know, it's I didn't see it at all. I obviously saw it was going to be us versus the Padres. That's what I thought it was going to be, as did everyone else. But yeah, I'm just surprised. I don't know if we'll win the division, but we'll see them, and I think we'll see them in the championship series, NL championship series. Hopefully, I don't know if it works out that way, but
yeah,
that would be nice.
Yeah. So, Aaron, let's get into it. The book, The Evolution of Sports and Social Media. You know, I'm curious. You interviewed over 100 people in sports for this book. What was the main theme that you sort of, as you were interviewing people and talking to people, main thing you sort of uncovered in your research as you're writing this book?
Yeah. You know, I think I slowly started to interview people for different parts of the book that I thought would be important for people to understand about. Content was a big part of like how to break down content. There's athlete content, so I had to talk to athletes. Right. There's branded content, so I had to talk to people who understand branded and sponsored content. There is original content, so I had to talk to like original content creators, people like Bleacher Report that I used to work with that would come up with these viral moments. User generated content is another form of content that that you know, people, you know, you take a clip, basically. House Highlights did this the best. I used to sit next to Omar from House Highlights and watch him do this. He would look through the DMs, the direct messages. He'd find a clip that someone sent him. He'd post it, and then it would go viral, and every other media outlet would post it. And so that was even talking to him about that and other people about user-generated content. So there's all types of content that I deep dive into that's important. But I talk to people about strategy, about voice, about branding. Analytics, as we talked about.
Yes, before. The famed analytics.
Content is king, analytics are queen. So I just did some really cool things in terms of, you know, deep diving with all kinds of people, from people who are social media managers for teams to people all the way up, VPs and CEOs of companies, to athletes that are on the top professional level. And I had some great interviews along the way.
And how has it changed? I mean, we talked about this last time, the world of sports, but how is social media and the content? I mean, you just listed four different types of content. How has it changed how teams approach their relationship with fans, outreach to fans? I mean, how players, you know, sort of brand themselves. How has that changed that?
Yeah, you know, I think it used to be a thing about people would, the organization would say, what does the organization want to say? Now they have to think about, what do the fans want to see us say? And what type of content do the fans want to see us post about? And so that's a big deal for a lot of people, was the transition of, you know, being about us and the organization and what the organization wants to see and what the higher ups, and I used to call them sometimes dinosaurs, the people that are 45 and up, they would tell us this is what you have to post. And then it transitioned into now it's all about the community of fans and the community of people, and how having a thing like hashtag NBA Twitter and all these types of things that are important to the whole, you know, culture of these different professional leagues. And so I'd say that's the biggest change I would see, and teams are focusing on having like a fun voice, not being so conservative in PR like press releasey anymore. But it's more about being fun, being authentic, posting the content fans want to see, and other types of stuff like that.
That's amazing, my good.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think you're seeing it a lot more, as far as not so much the Bleacher Reports and the overtimes of the world. It's these teams are really taking control of their own brand image, like more so than ever before. Since TikTok and Reels and all this came out, I feel like they're a lot more cognizant of what they're putting out there. And you know, right now they had, you know, they're having people call out teams on TikTok, mm-hmm. and the teams are responding and actually engaging with their fan base yep. more than ever before on social media.
Yeah.
And no. just like over the last couple of days, they had this thing with the Detroit Lions TikTok yeah. is like just
it's amazing
on fire. Like that is the best team in the NFL for TikTok.
Yeah.
and the worst team in the NFL otherwise.
You but never know. Honestly.
Like, but you yeah. know what? Like that's how they're gonna get that fan base engaged and you know just hooked on their every move. And you know, Rick, I don't know if you saw it, but there was this girl that made a Detroit Lions
follow on TikTok,
you know, logo, yeah. like redid the logo, called them the Detroit Lions.
Yeah. Oh God!
And just it's a whole bunch of lines as a logo, and the Lions actually went out there and printed up a whole bunch of shirts and gave them to the whole team and did like a whole social media post about it. So it's just it's funny that they're. You know, that they're going out there and somebody's trying to make fun of their team and they're like owning it, you know?
Exactly.
So it's just great. And, you know, you see it everywhere. You know, the Mets and Mr. Met is all the way, you know, obviously that I gravitated because I'm a Mets fan. So I see their content a lot. But a lot of these teams have, very cool and fun content to just sit there and consume day in and day out. What's your take on is this kind of the new wave of sports social media? Is the teams really just taking control of it as much as possible to control the narrative?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, they'll, you know, it sucks. They can't say we suck on the field.
They say that plenty well enough.
Yeah, exactly. They can't, you know, the social media manager, as you know, people should understand, can't control what the offensive coordinator play calls, but they can control the narrative in terms of, you know, we can still be cool on social media and do great things, and you don't have to focus so much on our team. It's more than just a team. It's a logo. It's an organization. There's a lot of people involved, you know, a lot of talking heads and all kinds of people involved. But like these teams, like you mentioned with the TikToker, she's not just done that for the Detroit Lions. She's done it for like McDonald's and TikTok and Adobe. Yeah. And everyone wants her to do like a brand rig logo because they think it's fun. So this type of content, I think people should play into it and have fun with it and be like, you know what? It's like we can make fun of ourselves sometimes. I know we might be on a 10-game losing streak, but we can have fun with it at least.
Yeah.
And it used to be in the team side, we're afraid of the owner getting mad at us or the GM or the coach or something saying to someone at us that person needs to be fired. And that used to be probably the pressure on the social media manager. These days, the ownership is kind of like, we've got to buy into it because we need a young fan base. We need to grow loyalty from an early age. And social media is the way to do it. And so you're seeing a lot more pressure from the social media teams to build social media teams, to be proactive about it, to have fun with it. And at the end of the day, just enjoy their jobs. You know, it's stressful at times, but it should be fun at times as well.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you have to control that narrative. And, you know, if they're laughing at you, just, you know, give them something to laugh with you about. And, exactly. You know, right there, you're flipping the script a little bit. Rick, you want to take the next
one? No, you know, Aaron, we're talking about content. I'm thinking of the kid on TikTok who's doing, like, the Jets thing. I don't know if you've seen that.
Of course.
I mean, it's just amazing how it's grown. And let me ask you this. Some of the people you interviewed, I'm curious to know, like somebody like JaVale McGee, I see you interviewed, and Lee Steinberg. How has social media sort of expanded their brand? Because like a guy like JaVale McGee sort of, you know, like if it wasn't, I don't know if it was for social media. First of all, I don't think if it wasn't for like Shaq and a Fool, if he would have gotten big. But now he's got a big social media following. I mean, how is sort of his brand evolved with that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, he's been in the league for – It's got to be at least 8 years or more. And so the funny part is I was part of the first social media team at Turner Sports. And when I would watch Shaq and the Fool, his clips would do the best. The JaVale. So, I mean, I just loved posting him all the time. I mean, it was him and a few other guys that were like shocked at a full Hall of Famers.
Otto Porter and those guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like there was just so many. I mean, I think I might have been there the Brandon Knight play happened where he got posterized.
Yeah.
I think it went crazy viral. But yeah, there was like those types of moments with JaVale McGee, as seeing his career gone from that to what he did. And I talk about this in the book, you know, is he got himself a producer that was all about his content. He has a fun personality. He wanted to showcase that on YouTube. And it was just kind of random story. You'll see that he is producer, video producer, editor, because JaVale doesn't do any of the editing himself, like Matisse and some other guys do. Mm-hmm. But JaVale will send it to his producer, editor. He'll edit it up. And how the whole story all happened with the bubble was JaVale said, like, the day before the bubble, like, hey, you think I should bring a camera? And Devin, his producer, editor, is like, yeah, why not? Let's try to grab some content. And it was perfect because there was no media really there covering these teams like they should be because the bubble is going on. So it was exciting to talk to someone like him because he and his producer kind of really broke down how they can be, you know, unique and individuals in the space and create their own brand. Lee Steinberg, for example, obviously he's signed these, you know, Patrick Mahomes and these big name talent, and that's helped his brand over time. But what he used social media as is to benefit his company, teaching about sports, you know, agency, how to be the best agent. He's done webinars, and, you know, his LinkedIn following is massive, and he uses it to help his players out and to educate them on social media, which is most important for him to do. He wants good character players that won't get in trouble, that will post the right things on social media. But for his own personal brand, like you talked about, is how can he be a best effective communicator to talk about, you know, the stuff he's done in his life and the amazing accomplishments, and also moving forward, the stuff he can teach to the younger generation. So that's been a big part of his, you know, repertoire and what he's posting lately.
And you know what I also find fascinating? Now these guys, all these athletes and entertainers, they have their own, like, producer walking with them, right? Like, they have sort of a social content team with them as they're going along, like, let's say, in the bubble or as they're playing, like, pretty much with them, like, 24-7 in a sense?
Yeah. There's a lot of that nowadays. I mean, you'll see more and more of it in the future, but, like, the bigger name guys, you know, Tom Brady's not editing that clip that you're seeing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yes.
He's got a 20-person team that runs TB12 Enterprises, plus this new Brady line that he's coming out with.
Yeah. And the podcast.
Yeah. See, and he's and these guys are having teams behind them. I mean, I met Julian Edelman's pseudo, like, social media manager / video editor. And he's like a high-end producer that will do social media stuff for Julian Edelman to build up his brand. Yeah. And they were doing merch sales. I mean, it was fascinating, the stuff I learned about from Edelman's guy. It's not in the book, but I learned about the hashtag sports and event.
Yeah.
There's just so much content I learned. But yeah, like, a lot of these guys, you could say a name, and they might have a social media person, or the agency has someone that works for them doing social media. So it's going to grow over time. More athletes will need social media managers, or more agencies will. And they got to take care of their brand, and their brand is mainly on social media these days.
That's incredible.
It's great that you brought that up. You know, another good friend of the show just wrote, you know, so much respect for social media managers. It's a ridiculous amount of work. I mean, there's no doubt it's a ridiculous amount of work. What does an average day look like for a social media manager, for a team, or for somebody at Turner Sports, or for the NFL league as a whole, or MLB league as a whole, you know? And can we see something like that in the book? Or if you want to give us a little preview of, like, you know, a good anecdote of what we might, you know, find in your book that's coming out.
Yeah, you know, I think the important part was understanding different parts of sports social media. It's not the same across the board. When you're with a team, you're always focused on the team and the players and the organization, the injuries, the breaking news, the not knowing what to say, what not to say because of the press. So, like, a team is totally different from a media outlet. I haven't worked for a team personally. I've interviewed for teams. I've gotten offers to work for teams in the past, but with a media outlet, it depends who you're covering, obviously. First off, Bleacher Report, we're covering every single sport. So I would cover MMA on a random day and a big MMA fight on a Saturday. I'd go to like you know, a fight actually and cover it myself. Or I'd go, you know, listen, a big NBA night on Thursday with NBA on TNT. And we'd be covering the highlights, but we'd be covering the news, covering the getting photos from the game, covering, you know, all those parts of it. It's a nerve-wracking job because you're posting to thousands, if not millions of people, and you got to get it correct and you got to be on point. And if you miss something, your managers and above and higher will call you out on it. And so it's a high pressure environment, and you get love and hate from the fans and followers. And you'll see that in the book. I mean, I have a story. I think, I don't know if I talked about last time, a story about this guy, Chad Shanks, who is the Houston Rockets editor, social media editor, one of their first people. And he wrote this tweet that like went viral, not just viral in like the United States, but viral around the world. And it was, he said, shush, it'll all be over soon. And he put a gun emoji and a horse emoji. And he just thought that was like funny because this is the type of banter he was having with the Rockets. Next, you know, he walks in the door, you know, after they win this, the playoffs, he just walks in the door, gets canned, his life. I mean, there's a whole part of the book where his friend in Australia heard about his news that happened in America, in Houston. Yeah. And he has like media outlets on his doorstep saying like, can you give us a statement about like you getting fired? So there's a story like that that's really cool. I have a story with the Warriors social media editor, Julia Fayer, and she was just getting all this controversy and hateful DMs from fans saying like, you must be doing this and that to the players and all kinds of horrible stuff. And because they're the Warriors and they're winning championships and people are jealous of her position, and you know, it's a tough thing. Women in sports is just a tough, that's a whole, you know, multiple books that need to be happening about women in sports. But like, I get her story about how to work for a team as a female. And it's, you know, devastating sometimes to hear what she had to say. But also, you know, going back to the media side, it's a lot of coverage. It's a lot of wearing multiple hats. It's a lot of understanding. There's a lot of parts of the business that need to be handled. A marketing person could say to me at Bleach Report, post this. And then the viral moments, social moments team says, we need to get this up as soon as possible. And then there's breaking news that happens all of a sudden. I mean, I have a good story in there about how Kevin Durant on July 4th, no one's in the office. And on July 4th, he announced he's going to the Warriors on the most stupid messaging I've ever seen. He has like link in his profile that says, go to like Players Tribune to find out where I'm going. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to take the Warriors logo, and we're going to do a post about it quickly and get it out that he's going to the Warriors. Why would you have to go read a Players Tribune article to find that out? So, yeah, I mean, it just depends on where you're, what you're working and what your objectives are. But it's a high stressful environment. And I give credit to anyone who's a social media manager, because it's, whether you're for a team or a brand or whatever it is, it takes a lot of, you know, a lot of parts to the job to be successful in a role like that.
I'm actually curious, you know, like how, you know, just throwing up the Warriors logo is like, is it because Bleacher Report has like, you know, just deals with all the leagues that you're allowed to just throw up a Warriors logo and a picture of Kevin Durant and just throw it out there on social media? Like what are the liabilities and, you know, the copyright infringing, you know, hurdles? And who can do it? Who can't do it? You know, because you see some, you know, private bloggers and stuff doing it, and you know, but not everyone's allowed to utilize the name, image, and likeness of professional teams or anything.
Yeah, you know, it just depends. The bigger media organizations have a little bit of a like ability to go around the lines a little bit. Some of them, like Bleacher Report, like they have to. They're under Turner Sports, and Turner Sports obviously has NBA rights till the 2024, 2025, something like that. So they have highlights rights, Bleacher Report, because they have NBA highlights rights because of Turner Sports. They also have MLB postseason TBS, MLB on TBS rights as well. They have March Madness. They're part of the March Madness TNT, TBS. You see all the brands on March Madness. So they have highlights rights over that too. So it depends on what they have rights over to what they can post and not post. I eventually see more leagues going this direction of giving people digital rights per year, not just TV rights. What I mean by digital rights is like you allowing, you know, for, you know, maybe, for example, an NFL says to Bleacher Report, you don't have TV rights at all for us, but maybe for $50 million a year, we'll give you digital rights and you can post it on your social media channels and stuff like that. Jeez. So that might be the future of the way things go in that direction. But for a company like Bleach Report, they can post anything off of like Getty Images, AP Images, USA Today, stuff of that nature. But what they can't do is they can't post NFL highlights. You know, they might get in trouble with that, especially if they don't credit the right people. I mean, I worked on the NFL side. My most recent full-time position was with the NFL. And every organization, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but like Sports Illustrated, ESPN, everyone had, they were the gatekeepers, NFL, of all NFL content. ESPN would have to like email the people at the NFL saying, can we use this clip and credit you guys? Almost all the time. You couldn't just grab the clip and post via NFL all the time. You had to ask personally for using certain clips. And so that might be the way it still is, but you know, that's what it was 2 years ago. So it just depends on what rights you have. The smaller people, the NBA doesn't care about them as much. The NBA is very much wide open versus the NFL is closed off, you know? And so it just depends on the highlights rights you have and the legality of it all. And you could get, you know, takedown notices, you could get sued, you could get all this stuff that happens to people on social media all the time. So it just depends on the circumstances you're in.
You know, Aaron, I wanted to ask you, you know, last time you were on the show, you had some stories for us. I just want to say your time on NBA and TNT. Did you work with Shaq while you were on that show and all that?
I did. There's fun Shaq stories I have, but yeah, he's one of the biggest characters of it. I've met a lot of NBA players, some NFL players as well, working at the NFL, but he's the biggest personality by far of anyone I've worked with.
And what was it like? Were you posting some of his content? What was it like working for somebody like that, posting his content out there?
Yeah, so I wouldn't post for him, but okay, he asked the social media team like questions like, can you guys get me this clip? Or can you guys send this to my manager? Or can you guys grab a photo of this, of me on the set, whatever it is? So he had very much a role of, you want to stay involved, but he had his own team and his own group of people, even in 2014, 2015, doing social media for him because he saw the importance of it versus a guy like Charles Barkley, you know, doesn't want to use social media at all, doesn't see the need for it, and doesn't want anyone to do social media for him. So Shaq is very front-facing, would be like asking for help constantly, but he was also fun and, you know, wild personality at the same time, and you know, would do crazy things in the green room that you wouldn't believe about. But that's who he is. Who he is, you know, he's authentic, I guess, in a way. He's who he is on camera and off camera. He's the same Shaq you get all the time that you can imagine being around. He's that same guy.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I was gonna say, who is I guess the person, anybody in particular, the book that you interviewed that like surprised you, that like you had one view going into the interview and then you come out and you're like, wow, it's just completely different. Anybody like that in the book?
You know, I think just learning these stories, I think, was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Talking to the social media manager of the Warriors, talking to Chad Shanks, and I've always wanted to hear that story about the Rockets and get in depth into it, because that was something when I was at Turner Sports, I looked at that tweet and I was like, that guy's definitely getting fired. Like, I got to interview the guy that I knew he was going to get fired. Yeah. And the next day, that's what happens to him. But I wanted to hear that story. I wanted to learn about even the random interviews that I did, like with people like the McKibben brothers, who are two volleyball players who do really well on YouTube and bring about education to the game. I thought they were fascinating. They were on Amazing Race. They do their own YouTube channel. They get sponsored by Wilson and a couple other big brands. And it was fascinating to hear their story and why they do what they do and how they can earn money off the sand, so to speak.
Yeah.
So being like a beach volleyball player, you don't make much money unless you're one of the top like 2% of beach volleyball players. So learning their story about how they make money on YouTube and brand partnerships was fascinating to me.
Beautiful memes, guys?
I didn't, but you know, there were some accounts that I didn't get to talk to. You know, okay, I did 100 interviews. I did interview a lot of different people, a lot of different personalities. But, like, I love what some of these accounts do, the memes pages. I think that, you know, memes are needed in sports. I actually break down – I do a paragraph about memes itself. And so how important memes are in sports social media culture and how it's, you know, fun and games and, you know, all kinds of stuff to people. But, you know, I think that you'll just see there's a lot of cool stories in there, a lot of cool, good interviews with different people. You know, I have, you know, much respect to a lot of these people that have been through it. I think what people will find fascinating is learning the story behind ESPN social media. I mean, I talked to guys like Jamie Horowitz, who's, you know, VP of digital, I think, at ESPN, president of Fox Sports at one point. You know, talk to him about some cool stuff. I talked to people that started social media at ESPN and what they, the battles they had to go through in the early stages there. I talked to the guy who ran Stephen A. Smith's Twitter account for a while with him, and I thought that was some cool stories. So there's a lot of great content in there for my book, to use that word. But you know, you'll just learn from a lot of the experts in the industry, not just myself a little bit, but about the incredible interviews that I got to do and the stories that I got to learn along the way.
I am super pumped to read this.
Me too, man.
You know, I can't wait. I already, you know, put in for my copy to be sent my way. Perfect. How can people get this book? When is it coming out? Mm-hmm. And how can they help support, you know, the pretty much, you know, the great content and the great work of you know, of writing that you're doing here and giving to sports fans and, you know, and social media influencers and whoever else is interested in that sports or social media out there. And anything else you want to say about it?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously first off, my book is on Indiegogo. It's being crowdfunded right now. Thanks so much, Mike, for your contribution. I really appreciate it. And I think first off, I've raised almost $1,800 in a 1 week. That's very impressive to me. I didn't think I'd have that much support early on. I had former clients of mine giving big donations, more than I was expecting. So people can get the book through Indiegogo. You guys have put out the link in your description.
Yes, the link is in our show notes, and you know, we'll be reposting that link as well.
Perfect. So yeah, I'm here to raise $6,000. Book writing is not cheap. Getting a video done that I had really professionally done wasn't cheap. And so all this is going towards the book. But another portion of the book, the proceeds are going, a portion of it's going to the Concern Foundation for Cancer Research.
Yes, please tell us about that. Yes,
that's big to me because two reasons. One, my dad was diagnosed with esophageal cancer in June of this year. You know, he had to go through chemo radiation. He had to go through a big surgery on September 1st. The good news is he's getting better and better every day. And I'm watching his progress through at the house and just seeing he's doing well. And so why I did the Concern Foundation was because my aunt and uncle are heavily involved in the Concern Foundation. And when I talked to the president of the foundation, he said, your money's going directly to cancer research. It's not going to filing cabinets or sending pamphlets or this or that. It's like going actually to the doctors and scientists that are involved with it. So that's why I wanted to give back to this charity. And I just think it's important to give back. I was raised with this, but my family is important to, you know, I think they would say tzedakah, as the Jewish term is, to give back to, you know, the charities and repair this world as much as possible. And so if my book can do something other than raise money for the funds that I put into this book, it's also to raise money for a great charity.
Yeah. And, you know, thoughts and prayers for, you know, for your father, but thank glad you. He's, you know, he's on the upward swing of things. So
I appreciate that.
And my copy is on its way as well. So
perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Sounds good. Well, I appreciate you guys promoting it. And I think when it comes out, you're going to see some great stuff. I mean, Hunter Pence, JaVale McGee, Matisse Thybulle, all there we go, Matt. All the big guys are, you know, there's some big names in this book. I wish I got to interview more and more athletes and more big name people out there, but 100 interviews was well enough for
me
to write a 144 page book and 14 chapters on this. So I appreciate you guys having me on. I think it's going to be a great book, and I hope people through this podcast can go support the Indiegogo Concern Foundation as well.
Absolutely.
Please. And we will repost the link. You know, I'll definitely share it out there again. And, you know, I'm pumped. I'm excited to read it. I guess leave us with this. Who's one person you weren't able to interview that you wish you were able to? Just anybody.
From like a non-social media perspective, I would say John Elway. I think that's, you know, not too many people I get starstruck. I mean, Shaq, I think I got starstruck over for first time seeing him. But John Elway would be someone that would be cool to get to talk to about, you know, his playing career, social media, anything these days. And you know, obviously, I think, you know, interviewing a GOAT, I would say, would be amazing. Like, if it was a LeBron James or a Tom Brady who do amazing things on social media, I mean, LeBron James literally brought back Taco
Michael Tuesday. Jordan's the GOAT, but whatever.
We'll, you know, Michael Jordan. I mean, I met Isaiah Thomas back in the day. He was great to talk to. I met Grant Hill and all these big name athletes. I would have loved to talk to all these guys. Yeah. But yeah, there you go. Elway, you know, to me, I love Elway. I always love Elway, you know, for 20 plus years. He's not the best, you know, president, whatever you may have.
Can't get the quarterback.
He's got to get the quarterback. I mean, he's got the quarterback finally, Teddy Bridgewater. Hopefully he lasts a full season, does well. But, yeah, I obviously, you know, interview some of these guys would have been cool for the book. And maybe there'll be a book two out eventually with great stories from athletes specifically. And so, but it's a really good, interesting read, the book. And I've gotten some good feedback so far in it. And you'll really enjoy your copy, so I appreciate both of you getting yourself a copy.
Yeah, and where is the next adventure for you? Because every time I see you on Instagram, you are all over the place. You are hiking. You're doing everything.
You know, I try to stay like active as much as possible. Whether it's, you know, I think traveling is a great way to, you know, see the culture, see the world. Yeah. But I also, I mean, I'm going to be on a little bit of a book tour. I'm going to probably see you guys in New York City in November when the book does launch. Okay. And I'll be out there. I might be in DC soon. You know, who knows? I love traveling, but I love cooking. I love, you know, mix of everything. But sports has always been my number one passion. It's somewhat of a second religion for me. And, you know, I enjoy to see what happens with the Broncos, the Dodgers, and, you know, my Indiana Hoosiers as well in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, well, awesome. When you're in New York, let us know. We'll definitely.
We'll get together.
We'll get an autograph of the book and a picture and everything. Yeah, awesome.
Yep, sounds good. All right, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Aaron, appreciate thanks it. A lot, and Aaron, best everybody. Of luck. And
the book is called The Evolution of Sports Social Media, everybody.
Yep, thank you so much for having me.
No problem.
All right, have a good one. Good luck to your Dodgers in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll do. Thank you so much.
All right, have a good one.
Man, I could talk to him for like 4 hours.
The good news is we're gonna have a lot of, you know, a lot of content coming our way. You know, with all these interviews and a lot of these stories that he's got out there and been gathering over this whole time.
Yeah, so no, it's incredible.
I am excited.
I just got my copy.
A month and a half. Yeah, we're talking. Before we get our books but go to the Indiegogo link. It's if you're watching this on LinkedIn, Facebook, or YouTube, it's in the show notes and it's in the description of this show right now. And you know, we'll be posting it out there and helping Aaron and his cause and the Concern Foundation and, you know, everything associated with and around this book. So without further ado, give us a Yankees update if you want.
Update. They are still 1-1. Hold on. The Yankees are now down 2-1, top of the fifth. Runner on first and one out, LeMahieu at the plate. So
okay.
It's still early.
Still plenty of game left.
Yeah.
But last week we had Christopher Adams on, Sharp Rank. I went 6-11 in my picks.
Yeah.
So I don't think me getting a sharp card is in the cards at this very moment, but we do have to get our picks in for this upcoming week and talk a little bit about, you know, what happened this past week and what's to come. So we start off Thursday night. Thursday night games have been interesting. And, you know, we haven't said that in many years.
No.
Thursday night games have been a lot of fun to watch, even with the Davis Mills and Panthers last week. That was pretty good. But we got Battle of the Cats. The Jaguars versus the Bengals in Cincinnati. Bengals fresh off of a 24-10 shellacking of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Where do you go for the where do you go for the
sharp rank? Oh, if you go to play.
Yeah.
On the bottom right, and then I just hit filter and just do NFL, and then it'll bring me all the NFL.
Oh, NFL. Yeah, apply filter. Oh, here we go. Okay. All right. So you got the Jaguars at the Bengals.
The Bengals are favorites 7.5. Bengals are playing hot. The Jaguars, you know, Trevor Lawrence is holding his own, but you're traveling into Cincinnati, and you know the Jaguars defense isn't the Steelers defense, and the Steelers defense got lit up.
Yeah.
So I have to go with the Bengals at the -7.5.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Bengals are going to win this game. The Jaguars, I don't know who's going to cover Jamar Chase. He's got 5 touchdowns already. You guys, incredible.
Yeah, yeah, he's on fire. The Detroit Lions go into Soldier Field to play Justin Fields and the Bears. Justin Fields, 1 yard
passing.
Passing yards after penalties and sacks. 8 sacks.
No, not, I thought it was not. Oh, okay, I think it was 8. Okay,
but in the stat line, 68 yards passing. You know, yeah. but in reality, what did they have? 37 yards or something in total offense.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
I don't know how the Lions are underdog in this game. I mean, Matt Nagy just said that it's up in the air whether Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, or Justin Fields is going to be starting. So nobody knows who the starter is going to be. And after the way the Lions, they got some players. They got a team there, man. I like the Lions in this one. I'm taking the Lions.
I'm taking the points.
I'm taking the Lions plus 3. Yep. Lions are going to win the game, though. Lions will win the game.
Well, then you go money line.
Yeah. Well, I'll take them with the points.
Yeah, just take the points. Yeah.
Yeah, take the points.
The next game is.
Yeah, I don't even need to go through this. That's Bills easy. Yeah. Easy cover.
But Davis Mills, you know, Bills are favored by 16.5 points in Buffalo. But Davis Mills, he held his own. He held his own. But now you're going to be playing the Bills. And that's a whole different ball game. 16.5 is a lot, especially in week 4. But the Bills have been winning by 2 to 3 scores the past couple of weeks. So there's no indication of that slowing down. So Bills -16.5 is the pick. Carolina Panthers without Christian McCaffrey are heading to Dallas, who in Jerry's world were on fire last night. On fire.
I don't know how you stop that offense, man. I really don't.
I don't know how you stop it either. And without having McCaffrey to control that clock, and you still got Sam Darnold. Like, there's this 3-0 Panthers team is not going to keep up this, you know, this magic act of just like escaping with, you know, with victories and whatnot. The Cowboys are going to win this, and they're going to win by well over a touchdown.
Yeah, the Cowboys. I don't know how they cover. I mean, they have a good defense. They're
5 points is, you know, I mean, that's begging you to pick the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Begging. So Vegas knows what they're doing because apparently I went 6-11, but
yeah, but
I don't see how I can go the other way with this. And the Panthers lost J.C. Horn.
Yeah. Broke his ankle.
Practically the season, broken foot. And McCaffrey is definitely out. So that, you know, I don't see it happening. Jacoby Brissett, now starter of the Miami Dolphins with 2 on the shelf, will be playing his former team, the Indianapolis Colts. The game is in Miami. The Miami Dolphins are favored by 1.5. The Dolphins put up a fight against the Raiders last week. The Raiders ended up prevailing in the end. The Colts are, I don't know. They're a little bit of a conundrum, you know, which way they're going with their season. But they're going to have another Hard Knocks throughout in the regular season. I think in November, we're getting a Hard Knocks with just the Colts in the middle of the season, which should be interesting.
This is tough, man. I mean,
I think the Dolphins at home. I don't want this game. I wouldn't pick this game. I would stay away from it.
100%.
But if for the purposes of having to pick one side or the other, I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
Is Carson Wentz playing?
Because Carson Wentz, I don't know how he, you know, if he holds up the whole time, and I don't know.
My concern is Jacoby Brissett and the Dolphins. If Carson Wentz is playing, I'm going to take the Colts.
All right. Well, I'll go Dolphins. You take the Colts.
Here we go.
The last place Kansas City Chiefs versus the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. The Kansas City Chiefs are -7. They're favored by 7 This is a get-right game for the Chiefs if there ever has been one. The Chiefs are going to feast. They're going to flip more double birds than you could possibly think. The Chiefs, if the Chiefs let the Eagles beat them, then there's trouble in Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't see how Kansas City loses this game.
I don't either. I'm picking the Chiefs at the -7.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kansas City's clearly the better team.
The five-star consensus is 100% on the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see Jalen Hurts taking them down. And I don't see the Chiefs going 1-3. I think that loss last week sort of maybe lit a fire on them, but I think they get back even at 2-2, and I think the Chiefs win the game.
Yeah, no, it's a get-right game, and they need to not only win, but they need to control that game and flip the script.
Yeah.
Washington goes to Atlanta. Atlanta fresh off of a win against the Giants in the last second, and Washington got shellacked by the Buffalo Bills. Washington is road favorite 1.5.
Yeah, Taylor Heinicke back there again.
Heinicke there, but you know, the Washington defense, even though they got shellacked by the Bills, is still a better defense than the Giants have.
Yeah. It's a 1.5-point
Atlanta game. Atlanta still can't get out of their own way offensively. Like, they can't get – I mean, maybe it changes this week. You know what? Just for the
– shits and giggles? I'll take the Atlanta Falcons.
I'll take the home dogs of 1.5, but, you know, I don't feel, you know, warm about it. The Tennessee Titans, who have not been too impressive, are visiting our New York Jets. Is this a get-right game?
I think the Jets lost
A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
They lost A.J. Brown to a hamstring injury, so
yeah.
I don't know if he's playing. I mean, they do have Derrick Henry. I mean,
King Henry's going to be there.
But Tannehill, I mean, they haven't – I mean, they did just win, right? They did just beat us this – they won their game last week, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they did. But I still, I don't know. +7.5. I like the home points for sure for the Jets. But +7.5. I think I'm taking the +7.5 on the Jets on the home.
I'm with you on this. I think the Jets are not going to get – I think the Jets are going to play better this week.
They can't play any worse than what they played
last few weeks. Tennessee's defense isn't all that great. They're going to be home. I think, again, yes, Zach Wilson is in the fire, but I just think they put up a better performance. I'd like to think they're going to put up a better performance. I think Denzel Mims is going to play. Will that make a difference? We don't know, but I just think the Jets are going to start to figure this thing out. In the next couple of games, I think the Jets are going to start figuring this thing out. Get the protection system. I just think they're going to just be better. I think right now it's just the first three games. I think things are going so fast. However, Tennessee's going to win a game. I'm surprised 7.5. I mean, I'll take the +7.5 for the Jets. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other local team heads over to New Orleans. Is it in New Orleans or is it somewhere else? Do we know?
I think it's in New Orleans.
Okay. The Saints beat the Patriots this past weekend.
Yeah.
After losing to Carolina the week before. So, you know, they're a little up and down. You know, they kill the Packers, they lose to the Panthers, and they kill the Patriots. So I don't know what to make of this Saints team.
But I can't see the Giants
are hot garbage, so I'm going with the Saints -7.5.
I can't see them losing to the Giants. Giants are going to go in there and get killed.
I know, but it's a matter of 7.5.
They'll be 0-4, and then the question is going to be how long will Joe Judge last a year? I mean, at that point, I mean, are they going to fire Jason Garrett at that point?
I think losing in the way they did to Washington and Atlanta, those were not pretty because they should have had both of those games.
Yeah, those are pretty hideous.
The Brownies were on fire against Justin Fields this past week.
Yeah, they almost killed them.
They're traveling to Minnesota to play the Vikings, who red hot in themselves.
Yeah, man, I'm surprised at this line.
Alexander Mattison filling in for Dalvin Cook, an injured Dalvin Cook, and you know Vikings just balled out. You got this little tight end Tyler Conklin. He was balling out too. If you're having tight end troubles in fantasy, look his way. It's somebody to keep your eye on.
I'm surprised that
but
this
the Browns negative two. Odell Beckham is back. Chubb had a subpar game this past week. It was Kareem Hunt and the scoring leader, the high week of our fantasy football league, Mr. Rick Molina.
Yeah,
and,
202 points.
Team Z Wilson.
Yeah.
He putting up 222 points in our fantasy football league with Kareem Hunt and Mr. Tom Brady and a bunch of other studs on his team this past week to go
That
1-2 and tie the Kansas City Chiefs in record. And I squeezed out a win too, even though Zeke didn't make it easy on me last night. I was up 30 and he scored 28.
Correct.
And then they pulled him for mop-up duty at the set 2-minute warning. So thank God for that. But anyway, Browns negative two over the Vikings in Minnesota. I'm going to have to go with the Vikings at home because the Vikings are different, a different team, and they can toe to toe with the Browns at the very least.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not 100% sold on the Browns being, you know, leader in the AFC.
Okay. I mean, they got a loaded roster, man.
They do, but I think the Vikings.
I think the Vikings. I don't think they.
I think they're both coming in with decent momentum, so I'll give it to the home team.
All right. Next up.
Yeah. Seahawks at the 49ers. 49ers minus 2.5. Well fought game against the Packers, but gave Rodgers too much time. Did the 49ers last week. The Seahawks are off of a disappointing loss. Is it a get right for the Seahawks? Are we taking the plus 2.5 they're getting? Or is it Garoppolo and the Niners going to prevail by at least a field goal?
I don't know, man. The Seahawks are up and down. I'll take the Niners to come back.
I'm taking the Niners on this one as well.
Yeah.
Battle of 3-0 in the NFC West. The Cardinals eked out a win against the Jaguars. And then the Rams, who put a beating on the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it is in SoFi Stadium. Two games in SoFi Stadium next week. So that should be fun. The Rams are favored by 4.5, and I don't think anyone's stopping the Rams right now.
No, I like the Rams.
So, all right. Ravens visit the Broncos. It's a pick 'em.
Lamar. As long as Lamar Jackson's the quarterback, I'm going with
Broncos.
The
get a loss here. Broncos get a loss. The Steelers and the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is a 6.5-point favorite, and I am taking that all day.
All day long, man.
All day and Sunday. And Matt Wolf has the Rams as a Super Bowl pick for NFC.
Right.
And, I mean, it's hard to go against that, Matt, right now, based on what we've been seeing. But the Packers, finally hitting a little bit of a stride there. And game of the week. Well, not
game of the week.
But Sunday night football. Two teams fresh off losses, embarrassing losses at that. But the homecoming for Mr. Tom Brady going back to Foxborough in the most anticipated game of this regular season. The Buccaneers head to New England. They're favored by 6.5. Brady is 68 yards away from passing Drew Brees in passing yards. It's going to be a fun game and fun narratives all the way around. Gronkowski was a little banged up in the last game, but he's cleared now. So it's going to be fun. It's a matter of can Tom Brady silence the crowd? And, Tom Brady has shown time and time again he knows how to handle pressure. And I know this is a much different landscape than he's used to, someplace he's played for 20 years and he's going to come back there. But I think there's going to be a lot of people still rooting for Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady's going to drop,
especially those 20, 20, 25, 30 year olds like that. All they know is Tom Brady, They're rooting for Tom Brady. So he'll have some of those fans in his pocket, whether the media thinks so or not. I'm going with negative 6.5 on he has to come back from the loss of last week.
Yeah, Brady's going to throw 5 touchdowns. He's going to go off. So I'm taking the Bucks.
Monday Night Football, another SoFi Stadium game. Chargers against the Raiders. I don't like the Chargers as favorites, but I like the Chargers to win the game. But I'm taking the Raiders in the 3.5.
I'm with you on that. But the Raiders, man, I tell you that this Derek Carr, man, he's a tough guy, dude. I mean, all he's had to deal with. And the Raiders are a good team. But this, I think this is more of a coin flip game, to be honest with you. But this is a division game. It's going to be great. It's going to be in SoFi. I'll take the Raiders +3.5 and pull the upset. How about that?
Okay. All right. I go with the over on that one. I'm popping the over on that. 52.5. I think it's going to be high scoring. Yeah. Well, another great, eventful week football, yeah, that we're due for. Oh, and me and you go head to head in fantasy.
Oh yeah, this is it. It's a big time matchup.
This is gonna be a fun one. And you got Tom Brady in this Foxborough return. I got Herbert against the Raiders. So you know it should be fun. It should be a fun Sunday, Monday night, hopefully. Georgia, Arkansas. I'm not a big college guy, but Rick, do you have any takes on it?
Oh, I like Georgia.
I'm guessing Arky is Arkansas.
Arkansas, yeah, I like Georgia. I like Georgia. They should win that game. Jeez.
Yeah, and Matt loves SoFi, the Jumbotron.
best. Have you ever been to Jerry's World, Matt?
I'm guessing Jerry's World is number two. I mean, I would imagine, but that is a nice one. But yeah, SoFi is a piece of work there. And Cincinnati over North Dakota,
I guess. Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Wow, so Notre Dame gets beat this week. All right. We shall
and
see.
Bills or Browns in the AFC, he says.
I'm taking the Bills. They got the better quarterback.
I go with the Bills there, too. And Jerry's World is obnoxious. I hate it. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's a nice stadium, but I definitely want to get to SoFi, and you know we're trying to get there for Super Bowl week.
So yeah, those are in the works. I think you're finalizing.
Yeah, I'm trying to. If anyone has any advice as to you know where the best places to stay, or has any people you know Airbnbs that they've stayed at in the past, you know, please let us know. And, you know, recommendations are.
Yes. Well, and if anybody has any recommendations of places to eat and places to go watch the game or places to party while, you know, Super Bowl parties while we're in LA, your comments and your advice would be greatly appreciated.
Yes, please. All right. Again, thank you for a great show. Again, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be live and in person for our 100th episode, Rudy's Bar and Grill in Patchogue, New York. We will tweet out all the details and you know send it out on Instagram and you know all the social media, emails, whatever. But until then, we will see you next Tuesday for another episode, episode 99. Another great guest on tap. Till then, you know, good luck to your Yankees out there, Rick, and enjoy week four of NFL football and Brady's return to Foxborough.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun one this weekend. So have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
We'll see everybody. Peace.